Father, I thank you for everything that you did today during praise and worship. I thank you how all of the songs tie together with the message that you have. I pray, Father God, that it would go deep into the hearts of your people, that we would rise to a new level and a new place. We would reach that victor's crown that you've placed before us. And Father, we thank you for these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in a time in the season where things are changing, and they are changing for the better. But it's hard to see when you're being pelted with rocks, stones, bullets, kitchen sinks, things like that that happen. But we just have to keep our wits about us. We have to realize that we've been trained for this time and for this season, and it's time for us to put that training to work. It's time for us to put those things that we've learned into processes, into mindsets, and go forth and slay the enemy. You're not weak. Stop thinking like you're weak. Stop acting like you're weak. Get the strength of the Lord that's down on the inside of you. The many, many anointings that have been planted in you are still there. The devil hasn't stripped them away from you. They're still there. You just have to learn how to pull those things out of your spirit, man, when you need them. We all are going to be in places where we are by ourselves. We know that the body of Christ is there, but you're going to be in situations where you're completely alone. And you have to learn how to summon that anointing up from the inside. You're not going to be able to pick the phone up and call and say, I need help. You're not going to be able to send a text message, email, nothing. You're totally going to have to rely upon God in order to get you through the battle that you're going to be facing. And here's something else that's going to be added to it. There's going to be people who will be attached to you that you need to bring through too. It's your responsibility to carry these people through. You are a leader. Everything that you've been through has been so that you could lead other people out of the darkness and into the light. And you have to carry yourself in such a way. Yes, you're going to have moments and times of weakness, frustration, but you have to shake yourself and then let God's anointing come through you so that you can complete the mission and the task. Every time. And you're able to do that. If you weren't, you wouldn't be seated here today. You wouldn't be listening to the sound of my voice today. This message is going to seem like a summarization of the things that we've learned and been taught, and that's intentional. It's by Chuck Pierce. It's out of his book that he's written. If I can find the title. I think it's called Possessing Your Gates. Had it, but I dropped it off. Yes, possessing your inheritance. So this is the part where we understand the process of spiritual life. Your process of spiritual life. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 4:8. Chuck Pierce had a visitation in his bathroom early on in his walk with God. And this is that visitation. I was 24 years old. My life was going along nicely. I had been married to a beautiful woman for 5 years. I had become successful in the business world, working as a system director of human resources for a major oil company. I taught a good Bible study. I was really enjoying the blessings of God in my life. Then one day, out of nowhere, I was confronted by a sister in the Lord who worked for me. She brought my attention to a potential weakness she saw in my life and suggested I was in danger of falling into gross sin if I did not deal with it. You need to thank God for those brothers and sisters in the Lord who come to you in the Spirit and say, there's a problem. There's a problem, and if you don't deal with it, you're going to go under. Chuck Pierce listened to this sister in the Lord, and we're going to see what he did. I was shocked. I can honestly say that at the time I was pure in heart, but it was something I had been totally blind to. I realized I had to give it a hard look. So I went to talk to the most spiritual person I knew, my wife, Pam. As I discussed the issue with her, Pam confirmed that she too had seen that potential weakness for some time and agreed that I needed to deal with it before the Lord. In fact, Pam suggested I had a stronghold to deal with. If you have a stronghold that you have to deal with it. Don't be upset at the messenger. Don't be upset at God. Deal with the thing that's there because it's only going to help you. And sometimes we have to come to you and confront you and say, brother, sister, you got a stronghold. If we didn't love you, we wouldn't come to you and tell you that. You know what God just showed us about him hating Esau. This is the same type situation. Because of the love that God has placed inside of us, we're coming to you and telling you, you need to get it together. You need to fix these issues that are going on because down the road, you're going to fall. You're fine spiritually right now, but if you don't fix this thing that's inside of you, down the road, you're going to fall. You got to understand that. It's out of love that these things are being done. As I discussed the issue with her, Pam confirmed that she too had seen the potential weakness for some time and agreed that I needed to deal with it before the Lord. In fact, Pam suggested I had a stronghold to deal with. I didn't really know what she was talking about, but I knew I had to be with the Lord and wrestle it through. We got to wrestle. I have since learned that a stronghold is, as Ed Savoso defines it, a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable situations that we know are contrary to the will of God. Ed Savoso defines it as a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes us to accept as unchangeable situations that we know are contrary to the will of God. One, I took the Bible into the bathroom and started in Romans 6, read it aloud to him, to God. I continued to read with uninterrupted steadiness until I come to verses 8 and 9, which say, now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. As I read these verses, something began to awaken within me. What did he do? He got in a prayer closet. He went in his bathroom. He got his Bible. He started talking to God with his Bible out loud. Something started to happen on the inside of him. That word being spoken out of his body hit his soul, hit his spirit, and something started happening. We have the same power and the same authority. We have to start using it. As I read these verses, something began to awaken within me. The truth that death no longer had dominion over me because of Christ became an absolute reality. Then I read verses 10 to 12. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. I sense the Lord say that if death had no dominion over me, then I was to reckon myself as dead to sin and not obey whatever urges might come up. It went on, verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. I did not know how to do this. Honesty. You got to be honest with God. God, I know I'm supposed to live holy, but I don't know how to do this. Help me. Show me. Teach me. I don't want this to come through another man or another woman. You teach me yourself. You show me. Because once you get it yourself on the inside, nobody can take it away from you. And you're not dependent upon Pastor Barber to get you through. You're not dependent upon me to get you through. You've walked it out yourself. And you're able, okay, something else comes, I'm just going to do the same process. Rinse and repeat. You can do this. Every last one of us can make it. Every last one of us have the goods on the inside of us because Christ put it inside of us to do it. Lord, I did not know how to do this, so I simply rose to my feet and said out loud, Lord, I present myself alive from the dead to you. As I did this, I actually presented each member of my body to the Lord for sanctification. Then verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Suddenly I saw the power of sin that was working. I saw that God has made provision so sin would not have dominion over me. I asked the Lord, is this really true? Honest questions. And as clearly as I have ever heard any voice, the Lord said yes. Then I asked him if the rest of the Bible and everything he had promised in it was true. And he said, yes, obey it. God began to awaken great faith in me that all his word were true. Do you believe that? Do you believe that every word that's in this Bible is true, spoken from the heart of God? Then you have something to stand on. You have something that you can persevere with and you can go to war with against the enemy of your soul. Yes, obey it. God began to awaken great faith in me that all his word was true. I read other scriptures, stopping in certain places that had been hard to believe, asking God if this or that was true. He always answered yes. Throughout that process, God's manifest presence, his glory filled that bathroom. 4 hours later, when I came out, my wife could hardly recognize me. That's determination. I don't want to be bound in this mess the rest of my life. I don't want to keep going and getting deliverances because I got a problem. I'm going to get with God, and God's going to fix me once and for all. Once and for all. And I'm not telling you not to get a deliverance, but I'm telling you, you got to change your mindset. Your mindset has got to be, I got to get with God so that God can fix this, because God is the only one that can. Four hours later, when I came out, my wife could hardly recognize me. My whole countenance was different. It was softer. It was as though God had taken a chisel and began to break away hard places that had been holding me back. Those places included insecurities, rejection, lust, and the power that had caused previous generations in my family to turn away from God. As he broke through those hard places, he began to release new dimensions of himself into me. You see that? as God broke all of that junk out of him, he was able to be inside him even more. This is what we're striving for. This is why we bring the confrontation to you. Not because we're trying to hurt you. We're trying to get you to want more of God down on the inside of yourself. This is where it's at. I had a whole new understanding of the Bible, a whole new faith. I was on the road to victory in my spiritual life. God gave him a 9-step process that every one of us, whether you realize it or not, go through. Number one, submit to God. If we were to be honest, most of us would have to admit that we cringe at the thought of submission. Yet submission is the first step toward possessing our inheritance in the Lord. We can't skip it and go on to step two. You have to submit. In an effort to understand what submission is and is not, here is a helpful truth from Jack Hayford's book, The Power and Blessing. Perhaps few words have suffered at the hands of human misapplication more than submission. The word is doubly abused, having been rendered the equivalent of patsy or wimp, if a person chooses to be submitted. And submission has also mistakenly been made synonymous with subjugation. But to submit is neither to become somebody's doormat, nor is submission the enforced requirement of a conqueror or tyrant. Read that again. But to submit is neither to become somebody's doormat, nor is submission the enforced requirement of a conqueror or tyrant. The Word of God has a great deal to say about a disciple's learning submission, but it never suggests that to do so is to resign human dignity, intelligence, or good sense. You don't become a robot when you become submissive. It's not in God to do that to you. To the contrary, God is the author of true human dignity, which is the opposite of pride, the fallen man's substitute. And the God-given human capacities of intelligence and good sense are never denigrated by him, though faith will often overreach both while denying the practical value of neither. Submission has to do with our sensible acceptance of our appropriate place in God's order of things. Submission has to do with our sensible acceptance of our appropriate place in God's order of things. It has everything to do with clear-headed thinking and nothing to do with empty-headed self-centeredness. You have a brain. God gave it to you. Use it. Use it. You're not just to become somebody that we tell what to do. Okay, you need to get up. You need to wash. You need to eat. You need to read your Bible. Everything step by step by step by step every day. No. No. God has given you those things that you need so that you can be independent but interdependent upon him, so that you can function and you can command a group of people. You can lead a group of people into battle. You can't do that if you don't have the God-given ability that you have to think and to do the things that you need to do for yourself. Is this making sense? Pastor and author Palma Chandler suggests that submitting is synonymous with believing. He writes, "The word submit means to yield or surrender to the authority of another. God's word is his manifested authority. Having faith is, one, taking God at his word, and two, trusting God to bring his word to pass." The term believe is an action word. It carries with it the idea of corresponding actions. Therefore, when I submit to God, I surrender to the authority of his word. This causes me, my life, and my circumstances to line up with what he wills, which is what he says. To submit is to make a decision based on trust. To get in your right place, it's that simple. Our right place is to be in obedience to God, doing His will. When I realized that I was in spiritual trouble, I went into the bathroom that day to hear what God had to say. He did something. What are you doing? Are you taking your will and forcing it and saying, I'm not going to be this same person today that I was yesterday? I'm not going to continue to stay in this place, this darkness. I'm getting out of this. I don't want to live this way the rest of my life. What are you doing? What are you forcing yourself to do? Because it takes that force of will tied with the Spirit to get you to the place that God needs you to be. And this is something that you need to start teaching the people that God has you ministering to. This is where the rubber meets the road at. Right here in this place. I'm not going to stay the same. I'm going to change. Our right place is to be in obedience to God, doing His will. When I realized that I was in spiritual trouble, I went into the bathroom that day to hear what God had to say. In the process of not simply denying that any sin could be working in my life, but rather going to God, I submitted to Him. You hear what He said there? He didn't argue with that woman. He didn't argue with his wife. He said, let me check this out. Let me see if this is true. He went in there and got in his prayer closet, and it was true. And God delivered him of it. He set him free. I got in my right place before Him. It was in that place of submission that I was able to hear Him clearly and move to the next step. Resist the devil, the author of sin. Step two. Satan does have the right to tempt us, but we have the authority to withstand his temptations. During my time in the bathroom, God was faithful to show me that sin had no right to dwell in me at any level. You don't have to let devil stay inside of you. You don't have to let them act out through you. We heard this straight from the witch that was dealing with Dr. Rebecca Brown, Elaine. Elaine said, I could let the devils come and go into me anytime I wanted to. They didn't have to control me. Why are you letting them control you? Why are you letting them make you act out and do dumb things? You have the power and authority inside of you to tell them, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And they have to listen to you. Sometimes even in deliverance sessions, we have to make the person tell the devil to stop. And they're surprised. Listen to me. You have the same power and authority that we do. You're a believer. Come on. He also showed me that I had the power to resist temptation. By reckoning myself dead to sin and not obeying its lusts, I could just say no. I could walk away not only from present temptations, but from those to which I could have been vulnerable. We have the power to resist sin. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14. Sometimes, however, special warfare is required to break the power of sin, to break the power sin may have over us. This step is essential to moving forward. If we do not resist the power of sin, how can we resist Satan when he comes to steal what is ours? Our sin gives him a right to be there. Step three, draw near to God. While in the bathroom, I did not know how to present myself to God as being alive from the dead. Thus, I simply did what I thought it meant by verbalizing my desire to do so. As I did, I drew near to him in the best way. I knew how at the time. Then, just as James 4:8 promises, he drew near to me by allowing his sweet and awesome presence to fill the room. He drew near to me by allowing his sweet and awesome presence to fill the room. It is not necessary to have a manifested glory or to hear an audible voice in order to experience the presence of God. And yet every time we make an effort to draw near to him, something is deposited in our spirits. Even if we are not consciously aware of it, draw near to him and he will draw near to you. How many times have you heard Pastor Barbara say, for years she would go up and lay out in the spirit and didn't feel a thing? Even though that was taking place, she was receiving a deposit. You may not feel anything at all, but you're receiving something inside of your spirit, man, that can be used to destroy the works of the enemy in your life. And you have to understand that. It's not about what you feel. It's not about having goosebumps and shaking and all the other stuff that you see happening as a manifestation. That's good. That's okay. But if you don't feel that, it doesn't mean that you didn't get anything. You have to tie your faith with knowing that when you step up here into this altar and you lay out before the Lord, you're receiving what he has for you in that hour. It's going to manifest itself when God's ready for it to manifest itself. But you just need to know and to understand that these are the things that he's requiring of you and wanting you to do, that submission, that resisting the devil. And then he's making a deposit inside of you. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. 4, gain revelation. As I drew near to God and he drew near to me, I was able to begin asking questions about scriptures that puzzled me. The profound revelation that I gained that day was that God's word was true, every bit of it. That revelation may not seem like much. After all, God's word is truth. Nonetheless, there were certain points over which I was skeptical. Since that visitation, however, I have had a level of faith in my spiritual life that has seen me through many years. I have had a level of faith in my spiritual life that has seen me through many years. But the assurance about his word was not the only revelation I had that day. I began to understand detailed steps for overcoming sin and darkness in my life. I began to understand how to walk in new levels of spiritual life that have produced the steps I'm describing here. A whole new dimension of my relationship with God was born that day. The word of God became alive within me, and it opened up a path of communication with God that remains to this day. Revelation will do that for anyone. Once God has revealed that something is absolutely true, no further question remains. Nothing. Nothing can pull it out of you. No one can pull it out of you. Once you have that hit you inside of your spirit, man, it's as if a veil is ripped from your eyes, and having seen the truth, nothing can cause you to back up. All revelation that brings victory in our lives comes only from God. Therefore, in order to overcome the enemy on any level, we must seek God to gain revelation. Step 5, define your vision. Earlier, we talked about understanding the calling God has placed on your life. Understanding your call is directly linked to gaining your vision, because your calling produces your vision, both what you are called to be and what you are called to accomplish. Every one of you, if you go back and listen at your prophetic words, there's things that God has said, you are this, you are that, and you're going to be doing this. Those are the things that you're at your vision. Some of you are called to be in deliverance ministries. These are the things that you need to hold at the forefront. Okay, God, I don't know how to do deliverance. I don't even know anything about deliverance, but this is what you have said. So this is my vision that I'm going towards. This is what I'm starting to prepare myself for. I'm going to start studying. I'm going to start submitting myself. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start fasting. And then you get yourself in gear. It's just like somebody going to school or going to learning a trade. You don't know how to be a plumber the first day that you go to plumb, but you go and you sit up under somebody who knows how to do it, and you follow them. You do everything that they do. You ask them questions. You study. You figure out what plumbing is all about. And you learn. You learn by trial and error. We got on-the-job training with the Lord. We got on-the-job training in the spirit realm, right here in this house. Some of you don't understand that. Pastor Barbara, tell you, you got a word for somebody. I do. No, I don't. Nope. I want you to go lay hands on that person over there. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. On-the-job training. We're being apprenticed into where we're supposed to be going. Pay attention. Understand this. And if this hasn't happened to you yet in here, it's going to. Don't be shocked and surprised when it happens. But this is how you learn. This is how you grow. This is what God is doing. He's placed you under someone who knows. And if she doesn't know, guess what she does? I'm going to seek God to find out what the answer is. Come on. Come on. You're brought here for a reason. Vision. Define it. Understand. God, I know you've called me to be a prophet. Know nothing about prophecy, but I'm here. The honesty is going to get you everywhere. The submission is going to get you everywhere that you need to go. You don't have to know it all. Understanding your call is directly linked to gaining your vision because your calling produces your vision, both what you're called to be and what you're called to accomplish. If this is not defined, you have no direction and cannot know what God's destiny is for you. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. Proverbs 29:18. If you don't have an appointed destiny, an appointed place and time, you will lose time in your day. If you don't know that you got to get up and go to work, if you don't know that you got to get up and take care of your kids, it'll be 12 o'clock and your whole day is gone and shot. Because you didn't have a vision for when you got up in the morning. You didn't have a vision the night before of what I need to get accomplished. I need to do my laundry. I need to do my dishes. I need to cut my grass. I need to make sure I study the Word of God. All of these things take place by you having a forethought and a foreshadow. Or I want to do nothing. I'm going to go and just do nothing. It's still a vision. It's a lazy vision, but it's a vision. So you need to start getting a vision towards what the Lord wants you to do and enacting those things so that you can start stepping closer to being in the calling that God has placed upon your life. It's not going to just lay itself in front of you. Your vision is not going to just lay itself in front of you. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to submit yourself to make it happen. Proverbs 29:18 in the Amplified says, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. So you don't have a mindset. You don't have a vision. Do you know why you want to kill yourself? Do you know why nothing is going right in your life? Do you know why you feel like a slug and lazy and you feel like you don't have a place because you don't enact what God has told you that he wants you to do? When you start enacting those things, you stop thinking about killing yourself. You stop thinking about, oh, nobody loves me and nobody's paying attention to me. People who do not receive God's revelation to propel themselves forward in their lives actually begin to decline. People who do not receive God's revelation to propel themselves forward in their lives actually begin to decline. You know, I heard there's a medical term called failure to thrive. You know, the baby decides that there's nothing left for it to do. A grown adult person, 80 years old, 83, my grandfather had this in him. He just lost the desire to live, and he eventually passed away. Failure to thrive. You have to have something inside of you that I'm going to go on. How do you think Pastor Barber at 87 years old has the mindset and the will to continue on with all of the pain and the suffering that she goes through, the ridicule and the hell that she puts up with because she doesn't have a failure to thrive mentality? I'm going to get what God has told me I'm going to get. I'm going to reach Lower Delaware and the Delmarva Peninsula for Christ. That drives everything that she does. What is driving you? I'm going to go get high. Come on. Put your money where your mouth's at. As human beings, we're either in a state of growing or diminishing. Therefore, in order to continue growing, we need to be reaching toward something. For that, we need vision. But gaining vision does not necessarily have to be an overwhelming process. In John P. Cotter's secular book, Leading Change, he said, the word vision connotates something grand or mystical, but the direction that guides successful transformations is often simple and mundane. The direction that guides successful transformations is often simple and mundane. A vision can be mundane and simple, at least partially, because in successful transformations, it is only one element in a larger system that also includes strategies, plans, and budgets. Without a good vision, a clever strategy, or a logical plan, rarely can we inspire the kind of action needed to produce major change. Without a good vision, a clever strategy, or a logical plan, rarely can we inspire the kind of action needed to produce major change. Remember, our vision is linked with our calling. If you feel you have not defined the vision God has for you in this season of your life, ask him to clarify your call. Again, you have to do something. Out of that call, allow him to define your vision and show you the direction that you're to take. Step 6, develop strategy. Once you begin to understand your vision, you need to allow God to show you the strategy from getting from point A to point B. I can't tell you how many people come in here and say, I want to be a deliverance minister, but they don't want to be taught. They don't want to get themselves cleaned up. They instantly want to be put on a team out in the forefront so that they can do something. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. You got to get a strategy. You got to get from point A to point B. Hey, you got devils hanging out of you all the time. So you want to go into a deliverance session and have your devils fight with their devils and nothing get accomplished? It's not going to work. You know, you want to be a great prophet, but you don't even know how to read. You're not even allowing God to speak through you. Come on. You got to back up. You got to back up and you got to realize what's going on. Strategy occurs when we set forth the plan to advance. Spiritually, that plan will have to meet the enemy's opposition. Vision sets the overall. Strategy establishes the steps for reaching that goal. In Ephesians 6, Paul tells those he addresses to stand against the schemes and the wiles of Satan, who is trying to stop them from reaching their destiny. The enemy has schemes and strategies to stop you, but God has a higher strategy for his people to reach their goals that the enemy cannot even attain. Strategy causes you to reach the goal that God has asked you to reach. Step 7, acquire provision. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. As we move in our strategies, provision is released. God will always supply all your needs based on the vision he has called you to walk in. The Lord has all the resources necessary to accomplish the vision and carry out the strategy he has set for you. You don't have any provision? Where's your strategy at? God, I need money to do this. I need people to do that. Have you given him your strategy? Have you laid it out before him, said, this is what I want to do. Is this okay? Many times, though, the enemy is there to block that vision, and one of his favorite methods for doing so is to cut off supply. However, the word provision means to prepare to meet a need, to have it already stored up. God's vision and strategy carries with it the necessary provision. It is only a matter of bringing the revelation of release down on the earth. Step 8, achieve your mission. There are 4 things to remember while moving toward the fulfillment of your mission. 1, you must set your face like a flint to reach your goal. Like a flint, that's a hard, hard rock. That's a hard, no matter what anybody says to you, you're dumb for doing this. If I were you, I would just go somewhere and sit down. Are you really sure God told you to do that? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I don't care what you say. I'm going forward in this endeavor. I am going to be the deliverance minister that God has called me forth to be. I'm going to be the student of God that he's called me forth to be. I don't care what you say. You're not stopping me. Like a flint, it's hard. It's adamant stone. God has a there for you. Once provision is flowing with vision and strategy, and you know where your there is, you must begin to set your face toward accomplishing your mission. Luke 9:51 says that when the time had come for Jesus to go to Jerusalem to be crucified, he set his face steadfastly, or like a flint, to reach Jerusalem. That's interesting. I'm going to die. I'm going to be beat. I'm going to be rejected. But I know that this is the will of God. I'm going. Nothing is going to stop me. Paul knew that he had to get to that, was it Trous? I can't think of the name. He knew he had to be somewhere in order to talk to the Roman citizens. Nothing stopped him. What is stopping you? What is keeping you from reaching your goal that God has told you you have to fulfill? You're not adamant enough. You're not flint-like in your attitude in saying, I'm not going to be stopped. He knew his next there, Jesus knew his next there, and nothing could have stopped him. You must, number 2, you must recognize the authority of God. In Matthew 8, we find Jesus and the disciples in a boat when a fierce storm hits. Jesus is peacefully asleep in the bottom of the boat, but the disciples forgot that Jesus is with them in their journey to the next there, and fear overtakes them. At the disciples' insistence, Jesus gets up and demonstrates his authority by rebuking the elements. Many times we do not reach our there because of tumultuous circumstances that come against us. The Lord always has the authority to overthrow that which would keep us from coming into our next there. Always. As we recognize the authority of God, we can begin to overcome the fears that hit us as a storm rages around us. Number 3, you must be willing to address and confront those things that would keep you from coming into your place. You must be willing to address and confront those things that would keep you from coming into your place. You cannot live in a state called denial. It's not me. Nope. Nope, I'm sorry. Nope. You don't know what you're talking about. And it's as plain as the nose on your face that you got a problem, you got an issue. But you're walking around with your head in the clouds like, one day, God's going to take me where he wants me to be. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you to get out of denial and get into acceptance. I got a problem. I'm fighting homosexuality. I got a problem. I'm fighting addictions. I got a problem. I'm fighting overeating. When you can be rock solid honest with God, gut hard honest with God, he can meet you. He can help you. He can pull you out. But as long as you stay in that place of, no, I don't know what you're talking about, brother. Maybe one day, God will give you a true word for me and I'll be able to accept it and to move forward. Stay in that place because that's exactly what's going to happen to you. You're not going anywhere. You're going to stay right there where you're at. You must be willing to address and confront those things that would keep you from coming into your place. We tend to thrive on formulas. It's easier to get a formula for success than to seek God daily to discover his plan of victory for us. But we must take the time to pray and seek God. Discernment in this process is an important factor. You must know whether the elements or circumstances you're facing are from the enemy, who is trying to get you off course, or from God, who is attempting to switch your course. If it is the enemy, then ask the Lord for a strategy to wage warfare against his schemes. If it is the Lord, then adjust what needs to be adjusted and continue to ward your there. Two categories. If it's the enemy, ask the Lord for a strategy to wage warfare against his schemes. If it's God, because sometimes it's God trying to get you to go in the direction he wants you to go in, adjust what needs to be adjusted and continue to ward your there. Step four, you must get to the there that God has for you. God has a way to get you to your next place in his perfect will for your life. Trust him to get you there. You will find that as you follow these steps, God will help you achieve your mission and get you to your next there. In closing, step number nine, secure your covenant blessings and purposes. Secure your covenant blessings and purposes. When the mission is accomplished, then the Lord calls us to secure, fasten, affix, bring into safety those blessings that he has for us as we reach our there. We must secure the perimeters of our new place and all the blessings the Lord has for us. In his book, That None Should Perish, Ed Silvoso writes, success depends on a secure perimeter. We must secure the perimeter against the devil and his schemes. This is an act of war. Satan's preferred mode of operation is exploiting ignorance. Satan's preferred mode of operation is exploiting ignorance, our ignorance, because it allows him to move with impunity. Silvoso then goes on to list three main weapons Satan uses to keep us from securing our perimeter: sin, accusation, and strongholds of the mind. We do need to recognize that securing our perimeter is, in fact, an act of war and must be willing to enter into that war if we are to establish our place in our new there. This is the process that every one of us goes through on a continuous basis. All of those nine steps, and you rinse and repeat. And each stage that you go in Christ, you're going to go through those processes and those steps. You're going to have to submit yourself to God with each new level that you have. Once you submit yourself to God, you're going to have to resist the devil and you're going to have to fight him. It's not going to be just handed to you and say, oh, here you go. You know, you're going to be a great, mighty man and woman of God. It's not going to happen that way. Step three, you're going to have to draw near to God. After you draw near to God, you're going to have to let him give you revelation. After you get that revelation, you need to define your vision. After you define your vision, you got to develop the strategy. After you develop the strategy, you got to wait for the provision that God has in order to enact that strategy. Step eight, achieve your mission. Go forth and conquer the enemy of your soul. Conquer the enemy of those people that God has set for you. And then nine, secure your covenant blessings and purposes. These are all things that you can do. These are all things that God expects out of you. And he wants to give you an anointing today where you enact this process and you start putting these things to work with a forcefulness, with your will. And as you tie your will together with his, you're going to see breakthroughs occur in your life. Those things that have been easily besetting you are going to leave. They have to, because now you're in agreement with the Father. The altar's open for you to come and receive that new mindset of I will do what the Lord has asked me to do.